Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are the first to arrive.
Okay.
You're generally the most prompt.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said generally you're the most prompt.
Oh, well, that's because it's 7 o'clock.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay.
I'm going to wait another minute before I start. While we're waiting, I will announce the location of the handout. If you go to the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, in row 6, the third column from the left, its title of the link is List of Parashas and Their Essences. When you open that link, scroll down to where you find the title, the books of Navi, should say Naviim, the books of prophets. There's only one link under it at this time, and that's the book of Joshua, which is where we will begin our study of the prophets. We will begin. Please join with me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati Serura, Alephet Gimel, Yutah Sadi. Tabel rinat amcha sagbeinu tacharenu nora. Ufreshayim, Sintet Nun. Na gibor dorshei chutcha kevavat shamre. Nun gimel dalet. Yutashim. Barhem tacharem rachame sitkacha tamid gamlen. Et tedresh saditach gimel. Asin kadosh bero tucha nael ah. Pet Kuf Pet, Pet Nunayan. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pe Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodeya Talumot Shin Kufav Tadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apaim, Verav Chesed Be'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Nosea Won Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. And we will now say the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kutshabarichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu, Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavalche, V'yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananeihu. The handout starts with a title, this is the Book of Joshua Commentary. The ideas expressed here are from various sources, and I will make commentaries as well. My commentaries will always be clearly identified. The sources, sometimes I will identify, sometimes I will just give you a website. We're going to be reading the book in both Hebrew and English. And when we do that, we'll be using the Mechon Mamre website. And there is a link right at the top to that Book of Joshua website within the Mechon Mamre. And I am adding, there are really three things to understand about these teachings. I say two things there because the third one is just constantly being repeated. And that is, never believe a word that I say, but try doing what I say and see if it works for you. Take your time in evaluating what I'm suggesting you do. The two things that apply to this book of Joshua, or to most of the books of the Nabiim, of the prophets, each verse that we read has 70 explanations, and each verse applies to us in this generation. I'm going to read the book itself, chapter 1, in Hebrew, and then in English. If I think it's taking too much time to read the Hebrew, I will just read the English. But I am going to read all of the verses of chapter 1. Vayehi acharei mot Moshe, Eved Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adanu Yo Yoahei Dawanu Heyo, Why, Omer, Adonai, yo, hey, why, hey, Adanu, yo, yo, ah, hey, da, wanu, hey, yo, El Yehoshua, Ben Nun, Mesharet Moshe, Lemor. Now it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of Hashem, that the Hashem spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, and saying, Moshe Avdi, met weata kum avor et hayarden hazeh. Ata wikol ha'am hazeh el ha'aretz asher anochi no ten lachem livne Yisrael. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Kol makom asher tidroch kaf rag lachem bo lachem netati kasher dibarti el Moshe. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spoke unto Moses. Verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your border. You will notice that this fourth verse that's describing the area of the land that is being given to the children of Israel, it goes from the forests of Lebanon in the north. It goes to the Euphrates River, which is the border between Jordan and Iraq. Or maybe I'm incorrect. It's the Euphrates River is between Iraq and Iran. To the Great Sea is the Mediterranean. And in the south is essentially the desert. The fifth verse. I'll make one other comment. That's obviously a lot more territory than what is the modern state of Israel. The fifth verse. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake you, thee. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success with whatever you go, wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye are to pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spoke Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the of Hashem, commanded you, saying, Hashem your God gives you rest, and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall abide in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, and ye shall pass over before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and shall help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as unto you they also have possessed the land which Hashem your God gives them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and possess it, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sun rising. What verse 15 is saying to the tribe of Reuben and to the tribe of Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh, you have agreed to help your brethren, the other tribes, to defeat the nations in the land of Israel. And until you help to defeat that land, you cannot possess the land that is to the east of the Jordan River, the land that you wanted because it was good for cattle. And you now have an explanation, maybe so, maybe not, but one explanation for why the West Bank, why the Jordan River, why the country of Jordan is not part of the greater land of Israel, even though God said it would be. Is because we did not conquer all 10 nations. Hashem only allowed us to conquer 7 nations, as we will discover. And until those other 3 nations are dealt with Hashem's help, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh is unable to inherit the lands the other side of the Jordan River. Verse 16, And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou hast commanded us we will do, and wherever thou sends us we will go. Accordingly, as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto you. Only Hashem, thy God, be with thee, as he was with Moses. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that shall rebel against thy mitzvah, and shall not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commands him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. If you'll return to the handout of the commentary. The summary and the main idea. The book of Joshua is the direct continuation from the end of Deuteronomy, which narrates the death of Moses. Prior to his death, please excuse me. Come in. Excuse the interruption. So I'm going to begin again at this area. Summary and the main idea. The book of Joshua is the direct continuation from the end of Deuteronomy, which narrates the death of Moses. Prior to his death, Moses had already said to Israel, "For I know that after my death, you will surely go to ruin and depart from the path that I have commanded you. And evil will befall you at the end of days, because you have done evil in the eyes of Hashem, to anger him with the work of your hands." The main idea is expressed in the book of Joshua. Joshua leads the children of Israel to cross into the land. That's the first five chapters, or four and a half chapters. Inheriting the land of Israel is from the second half of chapter 5 through chapter 12. Dividing the land among the tribes is from chapter 13 to 22. And Joshua charges the people to obey and serve Hashem. And that's the last two chapters in the book of Joshua. The explanation of the main idea. After Moses dies, Hashem commissions Joshua to cross over the Jordan and lead his people into the promised land. Those are the first four verses of chapter 1. Promising victory, the Lord emphasizes that Joshua must meditate on the book of instruction given by Moses. That's verses 7 and 8. Joshua sends two spies into the first city, Jericho, and learns that everyone who lives in the land is panicking, because the Jews have arrived. Reminiscent of the Yam Suf some 40 years earlier, the Israelites experience the Jordan River miraculously parting, and they are able to cross over on dry ground. This is in chapter 3. After circumcising the men and celebrating Pesach, the beginning of chapter 5, it is time to take the land. Joshua has an encounter with Hashem, and he realizes that Hashem will be the one to fight the battles, which starts with the miraculous defeat of Jericho. Following, Hashem often becomes a problem for the Israelites. Following Hashem becomes a problem for the Israelites often. And this generation is no exception. Achan defies God's mitzvah to commit all the plunder to him by stealing some of it for himself and hiding it in his tent. His severe judgment is a reminder that all sin, whether that of the Canaanite or that of the Israelite, will be dealt with appropriately. Numerous battles are won and the land is secured. Joshua divides the land at the Lord's command, specifying boundaries and borders. Finally, before he dies, Joshua appeals to the people, warning them and admonishing them to stay faithful to Hashem, to avoid idolatry, and get rid of the foreign gods that are long you, and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Get rid of the foreign gods that draw you away from the God of Israel. The purpose of the book. The book of Joshua was written to teach us about the faithfulness of Hashem and his ability to give his people the victory when they trust in him. Secondly, it also demonstrates the severity of his judgment upon sin and disobedience. The promise given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, that his descendants would inherit Canaan, has finally been fulfilled. God is faithful. Always God is faithful. As Joshua and the people trusted in him. The Lord fought their battles. This happened at Jericho, where the only thing the Israelites did was march, blow trumpets, and trust Hashem. They never drew a sword. They never fired an arrow. They never threw a punch. In short, they simply obeyed. God gave them the victory. God even stopped the sun to buy Joshua more time to defeat the five Amorite kings. For those that disobey and commit themselves to vile practices, they will surely be destroyed. This is why God destroyed the Canaanites and even some of the Israelites. The Israelites were God's tool to deal with the defilement that was present in Canaan. If they defiled the land, Joshua reminds them, God will destroy them. God fulfills his promises. God had promised Abraham's descendants that they would inherit the land of Canaan. The book of Joshua victoriously documents this promise, being fulfilled against all odds. From Abraham's deception to the golden calf incident in the wilderness, to the thievery and the disobedience of Achan, and on, God still kept his covenant and gave the land to his people in spite of their failures. One unwritten comment is for us to realize that the Catholic Church had said, as part of their rituals and their teachings, that the children of Israel had been changed, had been replaced by the Catholic Church. And we see from this understanding in the book of Joshua that that is not true. God fights for his people. The book of Joshua is a book of war, A few battles are documented, most are not. When the people trusted and obeyed, God fought their battles. What seemed impossible a generation earlier was now taking place. Victory for Joshua's people. It was God who caused the walls of Jericho to fall, who gave the winning strategy to Joshua, and who stopped the sun for him to have more time. Sin will be judged. A rather shocking event takes place in Joshua 8. Achan, all of his family and possessions are stoned and then burned because he took something he desired unlawfully. It seems like a rather harsh punishment for disobeying Hashem and stealing a Babylonian cloak and some gold and silver. But Hashem was making a point that sin will be judged. He was not against the individual. Whether Israelite or Canaanite, he was against sinful practices. Conversely, just being born from a Jewish mother does not give you license to not follow Hashem's directions. Serve the Lord. In the very first verse of the first chapter, Moses, who has died, is described as the Lord's servant. Joshua was Moses' assistant and is now commissioned as the new leader of the Israelites. He is Hashem's new servant, called to stay close to the Lord by meditating upon God's word. The book concludes with Joshua calling together all the people and exhorting them to choose whether or not they will serve Hashem. He vows his allegiance to God and gravely warns them about the ease of falling into idolatry. How does this relate to us? Hashem keeps his word. He raised up a nation from a man and brought them into their own land. His promise to Abraham in Genesis was fulfilled in the book of Joshua. We can trust him. We can trust his written word, and we can trust that he will complete the work that he has begun in us. God was patient and long-suffering. Along the way, there were many occasions of sin and failure. Yet Hashem's plan and promise was ultimately fulfilled. This is an unwritten commentary. In actuality, all of the promise has not been fulfilled. It will be, and we can trust that it will be. And it's important that we earn that trust. We create that trust in ourselves, and we do the actions that we need to do to make the manifestation of the land of Israel to be what Hashem has promised in the various books, both in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Numbers, and in the book of Joshua. Continuing to read. In this life, we will have many battles. They will not necessarily be physical battles, but they will nonetheless be times of intense conflict and struggle. In these times, it is important to remember Joshua and his trust in the Lord as the walls toppled down amidst the shouts of God's people. God is able to fight our battles for us. We need to trust him, and we need to do what Joshua did. Meditate day and night upon the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid, and be strong and courageous. My written commentary. Do you think meditation is memorizing the written word? Do you think people in this generation are willing to learn the meditations that Moshe and Joshua performed? Our Sefer Yetzirah class will teach you how, if you are willing to practice. That class will be on Thursday at 2 p.m. 11 p.m. West Coast time. An unwritten part of the commentary. Meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. Not necessarily on the Talmud. The question that you need to ask yourself, do you consider the Zohar the word of the Lord? Or is it only the written Torah and the books of the Nabiim, the prophets? Is it only the Tanakh that is considered the word of the Lord? Or is it the Talmud and the Zohar as well? This is a question that each person needs to answer for their own. I'm continuing to read. God takes sin seriously. It comes with a high price tag. As Achan learned, after all, the reason that the Canaanites were being defeated by Hashem is because of their evil practices. It tells us this in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Parasha for next week. We must fear the Lord and fight against the casual attitude toward sin. It breaks our relationship with Hashem. We rejoice that sinners find forgiveness as they turn to God, as they return to God, and enter into a relationship with Him and His people. Like Rahab and the Gibeonites, we are faced with a choice. We can serve the Lord as Joshua and his family did, or we can serve gods of our own choosing, as most of the Israelites eventually did. The choice we make is a daily choice. Choosing to serve Hashem means that we are choosing to meditate on his word, choosing to obey him with our choices, and choosing to honor him with our lives. Each and every day, we make this choice anew. Some of what I just said is my unwritten commentary. Moses, my servant, is dead. The book of Joshua is the direct continuation from the end of Deuteronomy, which narrates the death of Moses. Prior to his death, Moses had already said to Israel, "For I know that after my death you will surely go to ruin and depart from the path that I have commanded you. And evil will befall you at the end of days, because you have done evil in the eyes of Hashem, to anger him with the work of your hands." The entire Nach, the prophets and the writings, will narrate the story and draw out the moral of this departure from the path with its terrible consequences, tracing the history of Israel in their time of glory, the conquest of the land and the building of Solomon's temple, and their time of decline, the destruction of the temple and the exile. Our rabbis taught us that the face of Moses was like the face of the sun, while the face of Joshua was like the face of the moon. Now that the sun has gone down with the death of Moses, it was time for the moon to shine. As long as the moon is aligned with the sun, the entire face of the moon is lit up and perfectly reflects the light of the sun. As long as Joshua reflected Moses' Torah, the people succeeded. Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Joseph, the son of Joseph, the son of Rachel, Jacob's beloved. The task of Ephraim is to actualize the keeping of the Torah in this real material world. And thus Rachel signifies the Shekhinah, the indwelling presence in this world. Keeping the Torah to perfection in this world had to be accomplished in God's chosen land, the land of Israel. And thus Joshua's task was to lead the people in and to conquer the land. But when the moon is not aligned with the sun, its face becomes successively darkened. Thus it was Ephraim under the leadership of Jeroboam, Yerobam ben Nevat, who led the people away from the path, which brought about the exile, as we will see later. The people of Israel today must study and ponder the story of the Nas, the prophets and the writings, and its morality in order to gain possession of the land of Israel forever and to shine its light to the whole world. I am adding, the land of Israel is a gift to the children of Israel. It is also a responsibility. It must be earned through service to Hashem. Are you a child of Israel by choice? Do you make this choice daily? Joshua, in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, reiterates the boundaries of the promised land as already laid down in the book of Numbers, chapter 34, verses 1 to 15. Here in verse 4, we simply have a brief depiction of the breadth of the land, from the wilderness of Zin up to the Euphrates, and its length from those two points until the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. From verse 3, we learn that after Israel have conquered the entire promised land, then any place where the sole of your footsteps I will give to you, thereby incorporating other territories. I am adding, have you looked at a modern map? Do you know what this area encompasses? It's important that you do this, because if you're not aware of what the gift of the land of Israel is, your consciousness will never manifest it, God forbid. The condition upon which Israel is able to conquer and retain the land is made completely clear here at the beginning of the prophets. Be strong and very firm to guard and practice according to all that the Torah that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And the book of this Torah shall not depart from your mouth. Everything depends on keeping the Torah, and this depends upon constant study of the Torah by day and by night. For then Hashem your God will be with you. And I am adding, what is the difference between the study of the Torah and meditation on the written words of the Torah? Which part of Israel connects to you? Chronology of the entry into the land. Rashi proves from the text that it was on the 7th of Nisan that Joshua gave orders to prepare the people to cross the Jordan in another 3 days. The 7th of Nisan was the conclusion of the 30-day period of mourning for Moses, who died on the 7th of Adar, just as he had been born on that day, 3 months exactly before the 7th of Sivan. The day he was cast into the river, and the date of the giving of the Torah 80 years later. The 10th of Nisan would be an appropriate day for the supernatural miracle of the parting of the Jordan, as it was the anniversary of the day when the children of Israel took the Paschal Lamb in Egypt, just prior to the Exodus. Taking the lamb for sacrifice indicates submitting to the power of nature, symbolized in the constellation of Aries, the ram, to the higher power of God. God controls nature and can bend it at will. God has the power to give the tiny nation dominion. If the people of Israel would keep to God's covenant, they would also always be above nature. Joshua reminds the tribes of Reuben, God and the half of Manasseh, who had taken their territories east of the Jordan, of their commitment to help their brothers conquer the land of Canaan. Today, this can be taken as a message to the Jews living in the diaspora of their responsibility to identify with and help their brothers and sisters living in Israel in their struggle to settle the land in its proper way. And I am adding, what are some of the other 69 meanings to this moral message? As a student of Kabbalah, have you asked why these three parts of Israel chose to stay out of the land directly? Why these three tribes of Israel chose to stay out of the land directly? If you look to their births, this is an unwritten part of this commentary. The tribe of Reuben was literally the firstborn, but Jacob was not thinking that the woman he was lying with was Rachel, or was Leah. He was lying with Leah, but his consciousness was on Rachel. And that created a limitation in Reuben. And that's why he could not go into the land. The same thing applies to the tribe of God, in that God was, the mother of God was the handmaid of Leah. I never get them, I always get them confused. I think her name was Silpa. And he thought, again, he was lying with Leah, but Leah was tired and gave Silpa to sleep with Jacob that night. And God was the result. And so that same lack was created in God. Please realize that I'm saying G-A-D, not G-O-D. And the half-tribe of Manasseh, I don't remember the reason, but it is something similar, something sexual. Chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. There are 24 verses in chapter 1 and 2 each. No, that's a mistake. There was 18 verses in chapter 1. And we know that the number 18 has to do with life. The message of chapter 1 is follow the mitzvot. Follow what God suggests that we do, and we will find permanent life. This is where we will stop. And I will correct the mistake. There are 24 verses in chapter 2. I believe it's chapter 3, but I will verify that. This is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions?
No. Are you going to have a class every day on the basic settings?
I'm having class every day at the same time, but it's a different class each day. And it's not okay. Every day, it's Monday to Thursday.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
It's not every day because it's only from Monday to Thursday.
Okay.
But the class on Monday we did yesterday, and if my memory serves me, the class is on the principles of Kabbalah. It's a review of the basic classes of Kabbalah. Today it's the book of the prophets, and then when we finish that, we would go into the book of the writings. Wednesday is a Jewish history class, which I've been giving for a number of weeks.
What time is
Thursday,
that
one? It's always at 11 a.m. West Coast time.
Okay.
It's always at this time. And then on Thursday, the class is on the Sefer Yetzirah. So those are the four basic classes that I've added to the schedule during this time of the virus when people are at home. And as we'll have to see whether, you know, as people go back to work, whether it's still a good time for people or not. But my idea is to continue to teach all of this because there's a lot of things happening and we need this energy. Are there any other questions? You all have a good afternoon, and we'll have two classes tonight, one at 4:30 West Coast time, a deep Zohar class, and tonight's 7 o'clock class is going to be an additional class on the Ari having to do with the Omer. Have a beautiful afternoon. Shalom Gadol to all.
Thank you.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, Hanok. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.